Harvest Church's combined orchestra. I can just see it in the works. Amen. I know that the kids are restless, and I don't want us to go too long tonight, but I want you to put your mind to something that's very serious in our walk with God. And if you would turn with me to Amos chapter 2, I'll give you a moment to find that. Amos and then Luke. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2, verse 9. I want to talk to you tonight about breaking free from your past. Amos 2, 9. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. God's talking about the destruction of the Amorites, which was a wicked, wicked pagan people, out of whom much, much wickedness came and was absorbed into the lives of the people of Israel and brought great sin into their lives. But what I wanted you to see that we will refer back to in a few moments is the last part of that verse where God says that He destroyed them. He says they were as strong as oaks. They were as strong as oaks. He said, but I destroyed the root below and I destroyed the fruit above. Now, most of us come to the Lord and we spend a long time dealing with the fruit. Because sin has two manifestations. Or I should say, the manifestation of sin is what we call the fruit on the tree. We all know what our sins have been. And that's the fruit. And we want to get rid of it. And that's the first thing that God deals with when we become a believer. He starts dealing with the fruit that's out there on the branches. And you know, once He gets that fruit cleaned up, listen closely. Once He gets that fruit cleaned up, then the people who look at us, that's what they see. They see a clean tree. They don't see that fruit anymore. But we find over time that our walk with God and our relationships with others is tainted because sin is not just fruits. Sin is a root. There is a root of sin. We have a sin nature. And everything that was a manifestation on your tree had a root somewhere in your past, in your life. The things that you struggled with so much and God finally broke this off and got you free from this. But you find that as you go along in your walk with God, there are still some things, maybe it's not smoking and drinking and cussing. But maybe it's deep, deep interrelational problems and bondages and things that you can't seem to get free of because there's a root that's much deeper than what you see hanging on the tree. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. It's powerful. I acknowledge that it is powerful, that it is like dynamite to sin, and that it is able to set us free. Your Word has the power to set us free, and I desire tonight, Lord, that every heart would be open and that You would speak to us in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Jesus here is rejected at Nazareth, His hometown. But these are the words that He quoted from the book of Isaiah. Luke 4:18. Before I read this, I would say to you that God calls us to be able to quote this verse, and I'm not being blasphemous. We are called to quote this verse just as Jesus did. Jesus quoted this verse speaking of Himself. But then when He comes to live within us, we should be able to make this verse our verse. So that where we go, we can say the same thing that He said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, often I don't preach as much on this as I have at times in the past, because I fear that we live in a society that's so victim-oriented. Everything that's happened to me, everything I do, you just have to excuse me because it's what happened to me sometime in my past. And that can be a cop-out. And it often is a cop-out. But it does not change the fact that for most of us, there is a reality to it. It's just, are we going to live in the cop-out and be victims all of our lives? Or are we going to believe what the Word of God says when He says that He has come to set us free? He has come to deliver us. It won't do any good to stand before Him on Judgment Day and say, well, this is my mama's fault. God will say, I sent my word to you. I have come to set captives free. Now, I don't like to read in a sermon, and this is more of a teaching than a sermon, but I want you to allow the Lord just to open up your heart. Maybe you don't feel this way about your church, but this is the way we need to go. This should be a safe place. This should be a place where you know that these are friends and beloved family. Where if you have a problem, you don't have to be ashamed and you don't have to hide it, but you should be constantly asking for prayer and asking to be delivered from it. What are the causes of the wounds that you're carrying? Every one of us has been wounded. I just don't believe there's a single one of you that's exempt. Every one of us has been wounded at some time, most likely in your childhood. And I'm just going to name some possible wounds or things that have caused wounds. Emotional wounds inflicted by parents. Physical, mental, verbal, or sexual abuse. Abandonment. Your own sin. Broken relationships. Major disappointments. A nasty divorce. Maybe your parents, maybe yours. The general meanness of others. Would you agree that kids can be mean and can be cruel and that there are things from childhood that have affected us? Major moral failure, such as adultery, abortion. These are just some of the causes of the wounds that people carry around inside of them. Then what are the results? We're going to narrow those down to four categories in just a moment. But what are the results of the wounds? What does it do in a life? How many of you know that wounded people tend to hurt others? God even says in His law that sins of the fathers visit upon the sons and the daughters. And we see it passed down in families. And people who are wounded very often become wounders. They carry anger, bitterness, hate, and sometimes violence. Wounded people tend to find themselves repeating the same things that were done to them. They were wounded, so they do the same thing. They pass it on to another generation. They carry around shame, guilt, feelings of unworthiness, self-condemnation, no confidence. Sometimes it produces the result of loneliness and being withdrawn, not being able to keep friends, unable to respond to other people properly, eating disorders, afraid to show love, inability to trust others, misconceptions about God, lethargic about life itself, deep sense of despair and depression. Major addictions. Alcohol, drugs. Suicidal tendencies, and the list goes on. I did a sermon years ago where I did a drawing and it was like an onion. And I showed the congregation and we peeled the onion. And the outer layer of the onion was all of this junk on the surface that we do. But as you went down deeper and you peeled down each layer, you could trace those very things. Whatever it was, you could trace it back to a root, something in the depth, something in the core. And so these wounds produce thought patterns in our life. And no, I am not being a psychologist. I'm not going to pass on to you the teachings of dead men. That's what psychology is. This is what the Word of God says. The Bible speaks of strongholds. Things that are patterns of thought that become anchored in our soul, in our lives, because of these wounds. I want us to say tonight, to understand tonight, that we need to begin to recognize all of that clutter, all of that junk from the past as the strongholds that it becomes. I want us to see how we get rid of the clutter in our lives so that we undo or we overcome the damage that these wounds have caused. We must recognize that these areas are strongholds that must be torn down. I'm not going to ask you to turn, again, I don't believe, to any more scripture for the sake of time, but I want to read a few to you as we go along. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." How many of you know we're in a race? There's a finish line. God has a goal for you. And how many of you also can recognize in your own life that there are snares? There are sinful thought patterns? There are strongholds? There are things that have ensnared you? And you react in ways that you don't want to react, and things have a grip on you, and there are strongholds in your life that keep you from staying on course and running that race. Webster's dictionary defines a stronghold as a place dominated by a particular characteristic. You need to ask yourself if you're being dominated by any of those characteristics that I read just a moment ago. If so, then you need to understand that God has given you the power and the weapons to break down those strongholds. I want you to listen to this verse. It's a very well-quoted verse. You've all heard it. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That means they're not of this flesh nature. They're not of our own thinking. They're supernatural. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty." I don't like to do this, but I want you to say it with me. Mighty in God. Mighty in God. "The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God." He is stretching the limits of language there. For you to understand, God doesn't have some little weak firecracker to undo the things of the past in your life. He's got dynamite. "The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God." The question is, do we believe that and do we have a desire for it? "Are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." That means that when you have set your heart upon being obedient and finding this freedom in Christ, that He will supply you the mighty power of God for pulling down strongholds. And He says even punishing those thoughts and those things and bringing them into captivity to the Lord. It kind of goes back to what I was preaching this morning about Elijah when I said that some of us need to learn to be violent. And I mean spiritually, to be extreme and to go after those things that are in opposition to God. Those are those strongholds in our life. They need to be massacred. They need to be punished. They need to be torn down so that they don't hold you back any longer. Now, I can stand here and I can preach that with conviction. And you know why? Because if I call you up here and I say, "I want to pray for you," I'm not putting on a show, and I don't think I have anything special that you don't have. But I have what is promised to you. And that is the mighty power of God when you come into agreement with God's Word. the mighty power of God for tearing down those strongholds. Someone has defined strongholds as a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable something that we know is contrary to the will of God. Something in our nature that we know is contrary to the will of God. Strongholds are these mindsets that are filled with hopelessness and cause us to think that it can't change. Some of you have thought some things probably for a long time in your life and you think, you know what, if I'm not free now, I'm not going to be. So I'm just going to muddle through and I'm going to try to be faithful to Jesus. And you know, I can't promise you that tonight there's going to be a great miracle. Because I don't know the process God is taking you through. But I can tell you that you do not, if this isn't true, I need to close this up and go home. You do not have to live your life under bondages to strongholds from wounds of the past in your life. God's Word declares it. My favorite definition, given by a teacher that I had in Christian Life School of Theology, strongholds are fortresses in the mind constructed of thoughts. They are fortresses in the mind constructed of thoughts, and you can just build those blocks one at a time, put them together until there's a whole castle in your mind around one part of your life that says, you can't do anything about this. This is the effect of what was done to you. But God has given us weapons that are designed for clearing out that clutter. Number one, I'll do this very quickly. Number one, you must believe that God really desires, that Jesus really desires to heal and mend our wounds. Don't pray. Don't do anything until you believe with all your heart that that is the nature of Jesus. That He wants to heal you. That He wants to deliver you from the wounds of the past. The Bible says that it is our faith that overcomes the world. Therefore, for our healing process to begin in our lives, we must believe that Jesus really desires to heal us and make us whole again. In Mark 2:17, it says that Jesus said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We're not going to read it, but in Hebrews we're told that Jesus is our high priest, and He is not unfamiliar with our weaknesses, but He knows them well, and He has compassion on us. And He says, "Therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Secondly, number one, we must believe that He wants to do it. Number two, we must openly acknowledge and confess our wound. Does that mean that you have to stand up before the whole church and tell your wound? No, that's not what the Bible is saying. But some of us are ashamed of our wounds. Listen to me closely. Some of us are ashamed of our wounds. We're ashamed of the results of those wounds and the things that happen in our lives because of it, and the things that we carry around, we're filled with shame. We have to remember that Jesus has carried all of our shame on the cross. Why would you carry shame that He's already taken with nails to His hands and feet? If you continue to carry that shame, you just make the wound worse by not dealing with it. Basically, you have to come out of denial. You don't have to tell the whole church. You have to be willing to say, "This is what I'm dealing with. Pray for me." Psalm 118, verses 5 through 6 says, "I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" John 8:32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thirdly, we must deal with the root and not just the symptom. Some of you have probably been dealing with the symptoms a long time. God wants to deal with the root. He doesn't want to just deal with the symptom. Back to the first verse that we read, Amos 2:9. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. That's some of you, that's your opinion of that thing that has wounded you and controls you. It's as strong as an oak tree. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. That's what God's able to do for you. Lastly, I mentioned a lot of things that cause wounds. There are actually, when you boil it down, there are four basic roots. Not symptoms. There are multitudes of symptoms. I didn't even read a fraction of them. But there's four basic roots of most of our wounds. And these are what they are. One is disobedience or our own sin. Two is other people's sins. Three is evil spirits. And four is circumstances. I'm going to read that again and then very briefly tell you how to deal with each one. Number one, disobedience. Our own sin can be the cause of our wounding. Number two, other people's sins can be the cause of our wounding. Number three, demonic evil spirits can be the cause of our wounding. And number four, circumstances. Hard, trying circumstances can be the cause of our wounding. The first one was disobedience or our own sin. I don't imagine that there's anyone here that doesn't know what the remedy for that is. Disobedience or our own sin. Psalm 38, 4 through 5 says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul." See wounds. A picture in the Word for us. "My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness." The healing for disobedience comes through repentance and accepting God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You must come to the place where you believe that He wants to forgive you and that He will forgive you. You must believe that God's Word is true. When you take the guilt of sin back upon yourselves and you carry it, then you're putting Jesus to the cross a second time. He has already borne your sin. Whatever you did, some of you, I would be willing to bet that there is someone in this place that has done something so horrible in their past that it pops up and it haunts you and you would just cringe at the thought of anybody in this place knowing what it was. Maybe you're afraid that one day it will catch up with you and that you'll be found out. But God says, "I will put it as far away from you as the east is from the west and remember it no more." But you must receive that grace. You must believe God through faith. "Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." In order to maintain our healing in this area, and get rid of the stronghold, we have to continue to seek God and to walk in obedience to Him, realizing that it is the obedient, the Bible says, who eat of the good of the land and receive from His blessings. Secondly, other people's sins. How do you receive healing when other people's sins are the cause of your hurt? This can be any range of things. I don't have to go through them. Some of you are sitting there right now thinking, "Yep, what they did to me when I was a kid. Or what someone did to me 2 weeks ago. I don't know." But you're wounded. This is one of the hardest areas, but it's not too hard for God. But it is one of the hardest because it requires that you bring to this area of your life forgiveness. Let me state that again. This is one of the harder areas to receive healing because it is very difficult to do the very thing that brings the healing. And that is to totally forgive and love the person who wounded you. Now, I don't have time tonight. I'm not teaching on forgiveness tonight. But let me say this to you. Forgiveness does not always mean that there is a reconciliation between people. If there's someone who has wounded you or hurt you, and they do not stop wounding you or hurting you, forgiveness doesn't mean that you just say, hey, yeah, do this to me again. Forgiveness means that you release bitterness and anger, and that you come into agreement with God that God would do a work in their life to the point that He could bless them, that you don't hold it against them anymore. You may not be in relationship with them. Things may not be right, but by faith, you're asking God to give you strength to forgive. And even though your emotions may kick and scream, and you may say, this is hurting me, God, but you say, by faith, Lord, I choose to stand on your side, and I do not want harm for those who have wounded me. I desire your blessing for them. And I pray, Lord, that you would reach them and bless them, and you release all that stuff that is inside of you to the Lord. This is very critical. Matthew 6:15 says, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said 70 times 7. So you have to walk in repentance to receive healing because of your own sin. You have to walk in forgiveness to receive healing for the sins that have been done against you. Thirdly, those wounds that are done by evil spirits. It's important for us to acknowledge that we do have an enemy. We are warned over and over in the Word of God that Satan is like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. We want to put on our 21st century intellectual glasses and try to change it into something that it's not. He is a real entity with countless hordes of evil spirits that do his bidding. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus healed many people who were in this condition, and has given us, as saints of God, the same authority and power to pray for one another to receive this kind of deliverance through prayer. We must put on the whole armor of God to destroy this stronghold completely. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the fourth and last one was healing because of unfortunate circumstances. Psalm 119:50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. I'm not going to try to name the myriad ways in which this can happen, but the circumstances of your life can be so brutal that they leave you wounded. So harsh that you carry around sorrow, pain, depression, all kinds of manifestations, all kinds of fruits upon your tree. But once again, having faith and trusting God, we are taking comfort in Him, realizing that there is a good purpose in everything, no matter how negatively it may have affected our lives. One of my favorite passages is where Joseph speaks to his brothers who had sought to kill him, sold him into slavery, and they came with repentant hearts. He said, what you meant for evil against me, God meant for good. It's kind of like I said this morning, you can't wrap your mind around some of the ways of God. But if you can see that everything that the devil means for evil in your life, somehow God means it for good. That He has a better plan. He has something He wants to bring out of it. That you might be victorious and you might be strong. Let me ask you to consider as we wrap this up this morning, what your life might be if you were free. Some of you have embraced your wound. Listen, because this is a very dangerous thing. Some of you have embraced your wound so long that it is your companion. And you can't imagine what it would be to be, would be like to be free of it. Because it's been there so long that it's become almost a friend. You see how painful it is, and yet you can't imagine a day without it. God wants something far greater for you. He wants that stronghold crushed in your life. And if I might say this tonight, I don't care which of the four categories it is. Whether it's your own sin, whether it's what somebody else did to you, or even if it's demonic spirits, or it's your circumstances. None of those things can withstand, and I'm going to try to make this so simple. None of those things can stand against the power of a mind that is renewed in the Word of God that truly believes and rises up in faith. When you get your mind right in Christ, strongholds will crumble. When you believe the Word of God is true and powerful and you desire it and you desire to be free, strongholds will crumble. This is the question tonight, is do you desire to be free? Will you take the first step tonight towards freedom? It may be a process. It may mean going into this Word every day and reciting the great things of God in your mind and standing. You know, I've used this illustration before, but I remember when we stayed up all night with a heroin addict many years ago in our first building. And I remember staying up with Jamie all night long. And I remember it was a half-hearted, he was wanting to go cold turkey. We were wanting him to go cold turkey. Let's be truthful about it. We wanted to see him free. He said he wanted to be free, but you can tell when you talk to somebody. All you have to do is talk to somebody for a few minutes. You begin to hear whether they're really, really ready, whether they're really determined and really want it or not. Because I remember around 4 o'clock in the morning and him sweating and him groaning. And I remember him saying, "You don't understand." I know I don't understand. "You don't understand. It's like having the flu." And I looked at him and I thought about his life. I said, and I don't mean to be cruel, I said, "Then have the flu. Have the flu. The Word of God says you've not yet resisted to bloodshed. You must be determined in your heart that you don't want that anymore. And that it's worth going through the flu. Or it's worth some days when you have to stand and literally scream at the devil and tell him to get off your back. Until you have peace with God." People may think you're a nut. Read some Watchman Nee. Good writing. He'll tell you how you have to literally not be timid. Satan is like a roaring lion. Do you think that you're going to be a mousy little person and say, "Oh, Satan, leave me alone. I'd really like to be free." No. It's, "Devil, get off my back. I'm sick of this. I don't want any more of what you have for me. I won't stand for this anymore. I'm standing upon the Word of God and believing with all of your heart, God has something for me. God has victory for me. He has liberty for me. I'm coming out from under this thing and stand and stand and fight and fight." And all I can tell you is that one day it'll get a little easier. If it's not instant, sometimes it is. But one day, he'll begin to see, "I can't hold on to this one." They're serious about Jesus. And the longer you hold on to Jesus, and the longer you fight the devil, the more freedom you're going to get, and strongholds will come crashing down. Carolyn, would you come lead us in worship? I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. But you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us a little uncomfortable. I want you to know that you're in a family and that I would be glad to pray for you, and there are others here that would pray for you. And I don't have claim to have great powers, but I claim to know a Jesus who does. And I will pray in faith tonight, believing for you to be set free if you'll just come and stand.